You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, folks, are you ready to get serious? So are we. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards. Keith Alexander in here with me tonight. Great to be back in the studio after a very relaxing and enjoyable family vacation. Here we are and here we go. Saturday evening, May the 30th. How is this year already half over? It seemed like a couple of weeks ago it was Christmas and now it's June, 6 months in. I tell you, time... like an ever-flowing river, Keith. It just can't be stopped.
Never-ending sewage lagoon is
basically. Well, we have to wade into that element here in the political cesspool. But somebody's got to clean it out, and we get in with our boots and.
But there's never an end. Just like there's never an end to human excrement, there's never an end to the political sewage that we have to deal with.
In the political cesspool.
Coming from the same source, the usual suspects, and the left.
Well, we got our biohazard suits on every Saturday night, 6 to 9 Central. Don't forget, folks, come join us in the online chat at cfcc.org, cfcc.org. Show's not even half over yet. We're just getting revved up. I want to make two good news announcements very, very quickly here. Number one, we had a victory in Selma a few days ago. You remember the story a couple of weeks back where this kid put a rope on the... And a Confederate flag on the bust of James Meredith, who, you know, endorsed David Duke for governor, I might add, at the University of Ole Miss and University of Mississippi, a.k.a. Ole Miss. And he's facing federal hate crimes charges. Well, at a cemetery in Selma, Alabama, thugs lynched Nathan Bedford Forrest and broke his head off, stole his monument there. And it was rededicated. That was several months ago, I guess.
Sons
a couple
of
years
Confederate
ago.
Veterans came through and had the statue recast, had it repaired. But, of course, we're still waiting with bated breath for the hate crime prosecution that would have followed had the bust been of James Meredith,
that's right.
For example, at the University of Mississippi. Some people are more, in Medford Forest and Selma.
In this age of equality, some people are more equal than others, I guess.
Exactly. Orwell had it all nailed.
And anyway, but you can go look at the pictures of this, a brand new Confederate memorial erected just a few days ago. And that's exciting news, and we're celebrating that. And we got pictures of the festivities from Selma, Alabama. Check it out. No American was more worthy than the Wizard of the Saddle, Nathan Bedford Forrest.
A true military genius and a
American hero.
American hero.
He's
an
American hero.
A really brave man. The term hero is bandied about with reckless abandon today, but that's one of the people that truly deserves to be called a hero.
That's right. Unlike Bruce Jenner, we're talking about a real hero here. And along the lines of good news, our good friend Matt the Copperhead, now he's a contributor to the political cesspool and really part of the team here, he's getting baptized tomorrow, and I'm going to be making the 8-hour trek round trip, it's 4 hours there, 4 hours back, to attend the baptism of our very own Matt the Copperhead. Sam Bushman will be there as well, and we were having lunch with Sam and the Copperhead and a couple of...
Kirk Crosby.
Right, and the Bombardier, and we had just a good time doing that, and we're looking forward to going to that service tomorrow on Sunday for our brother, the Copperhead. And I told the Copperhead he didn't ask us to do that, but I asked him if it would be okay, and of course, he was excited to share the good news of his newfound faith, and so we are celebrating the Copperhead's baptism tonight and sharing it publicly with all of you good people out there. So I was asking Keith, though, if you could pick Keith, because, you know, one of Keith's signature topics that we really cover throughout the year when it's appropriate, but certainly around this time of year with the anniversary of Brown versus Board. I told Keith we had to hold off any further commentary on Brown to the second hour since he's touched on it in the first hour of each the last couple of weeks. We didn't want people to think we were running a tape again. And anyway, We're going to cover it this hour, though. It's a summation of what Keith has been covering in bits and pieces over the course of the last two Saturdays. But I asked Keith, if given the choice, Keith, would America have been better off suffering a couple of nuclear bombings in 1954 or the passage of Brown? And, of course, we both agreed it was pretty much a rhetorical question. We'd take a couple of nukings over Brown. Tell us why, Keith, and tell us why that's not an exaggeration.
Well, it's not an exaggeration. Brown was the beginning of the culture war that led to the triumph of liberalism. Without an effective Brown versus Board of Education, without an effective civil rights movement, without a successful civil rights movement, there would never have been a Roe versus Wade. There would never have been the sexual revolution. There would never have been the drug culture. There would never have been the criminal rights revolution. There would never have been radical feminism. There would never have been climate change or global warming as a success. There would never have been a homosexual rights movement. All of these things track back to the template developed by the left in the Brown decision. And I do maintain, I'll stand firmly with my assertion that America would have been better off if we had suffered a nuclear attack on May the 17th, 1954 than the Brown decision. This is why. For example, think of how many people died in Hiroshima and Nagasaki as a result of the dropping of two nuclear bombs? Probably around 200,000 people at most, okay? Compare that with the millions of lives that have been lost because of Roe versus Wade. And as we said, there would never have been a successful Roe versus Wade decision had there not been a successful Brown versus Board of Education
decision. And the reason that is, of course, Keith, is that Brown was the precedent-setting measure for all of these cases like Roe that would come down the pike afterwards, because this was the one where they found out at long last they could circumvent the will of the people, circumvent the will of – and we've talked about this before, but we have new listeners coming online every week. They could circumvent the will of the voting public through judicial legislation or legislation from the bench.
So-called power of judicial review, which is totally unconstitutional. It's based on the assumption that the U.S. Supreme Court and the federal judiciary are the ultimate arbiters of what is constitutional and what is not. First of all, it says nothing of the sort in the text of the U.S. Constitution. Secondly, no previous president or executive would abide by an assertion by the Supreme Court that they were the ultimate arbiters of what was constitutional and what was not. Thomas Jefferson blithely ignored an attempted assertion of the power of judicial review in the Marbury versus Madison case in 1803. Andrew Jackson, when the Supreme Court under then Chief Justice John Marshall ruled the Indian Removal Act unconstitutional, Andrew Jackson's response was, "Mr. Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it."
Well, this is the thing, and I'm glad you brought that up. And
same thing for Abraham Lincoln. Same thing for numerous other presidents since then.
Some better and some worse in the case of Jackson versus Lincoln. But here's the thing. When you had real men, and I'm going to pause right there because I've got a couple of things I want to say on that, and I hear the music starting. But we're going to compare real men, legitimate presidents, like
who understood the Constitution and understood their role as the chief executive.
Like Andrew Jackson versus these panty waists.
Like Dwight Eisenhower. Who would not stand up to Chief Justice Warren in the U.S. Right. Supreme Court in Brown.
Here we go. Take a break. We'll be back.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also, also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211 and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Two days that can save your life. The Preppers and Patriots Expo, Baxter County Fairgrounds, Mountain Home, Arkansas, May 30th and 31st, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. 36 expert speakers covering emergency medicine, survival food, water filtration, wilderness survival, solar power, wind power, gardening, self-defense, archery. See a pickup truck that runs on firewood, no gasoline needed. Learn suturing and save a life. What herbs can replace pharmaceuticals? Ham radio, home steam engines. Don't be scared, be prepared with 2 days that can save your life. Free admission, a family event, children are welcome. PreppersandPatriots.net. Only a few vendor tables left. Call 417-264-2435. 417-264-2435.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
You know, we typically have an exhaustive episode on the ins and outs and ramifications of the Brown versus Board of Education decision on its anniversary each May. We're now at 61 years and still going down. This year, because of my vacation schedule, we weren't really able to do that. I think we had a couple of segments 2 weeks ago, and then Keith did another follow-up segment last week, and so we're doing it one more time now. We've compartmentalized it, but we're putting the capstone on it in this commentary. But what we were talking about before the break, Keith, with regard to Brown is, unlike during the age of Old Hickory, Andrew Jackson, when we had a legitimate man in the White House, that's all they had to do in 1954 was just say the Supreme Court, again, to hearken the words of Andrew Jackson. The Supreme Court has made their decision. Now let them enforce it. Now, that's all that Eisenhower had to say. And Eisenhower, if anybody knows history, which very few people outside of our audience do, Eisenhower was against Brown versus Board. In fact, he sort of tried to wimpishly encourage the justices to vote against it by saying that people in the South aren't bad. They just don't want their daughters. And I'm quoting him directly. This was the president, what he said, Eisenhower, said they just don't want their young daughters going to school with overgrown Negroes. That's what Eisenhower said. But he didn't have the courage to stand against it when it came down the pike, nor has any president since then. And now we fast forward to the days of truly girly men like Rick Santorum, who are you know, supposedly these all of these just
Glenn Beck.
Despicable Republican.
Sean Hannity.
Yeah,
Sean,
these aren't men.
Look, porn vanity, as Michael Savage calls it.
Don't let anybody, don't be confused in thinking that these people are men. And you got people
they
like
bow
that.
Bow at the altar of the Brown decision. They basically have this misbegotten notion that somehow liberalism was righteous and good up until the latest indignity, let's say homosexual marriage or something.
That's right. Yeah, they're all in the tank for every redrawing of the line prior to homosexuality. And they'll hold the line on homosexuality for another 10 years, maybe another few years. But even if they hold it for the rest of their careers, their replacements will be all for it, and they'll draw the line at the next radical egalitarian.
Or else the Jews that run Hollywood and the news media will dispense with them.
But none of the talking heads other than us here on the political cesspool, and certainly none of the presidential contenders are going to say, you know what, we need to nip this in the bud. We need to go back to the origins of all that's wrong with America.
And that's the Brown decision.
We need to go back with Brown. We need to repeal all of this stuff. We need to get rid of the Supreme Court. You know, and listen, and we had who was on here? It was we played a tape of a recording that Brother Nathaniel Kapner had made that wrote his prescription to fix what ails America, and he deals with some of this, and a lot of it could actually be done. It's not just theoretical.
No, but it'd be very easy to do it. You know, people keep saying, what are you going to do about it? What should you do? Well, it's real easy to know what to do. What did our ancestors do? They had it figured out. They had everything under control. And we have just blithely disregarded the wisdom of the ages, which is what the truly conservative position, the old line paleo-conservative position on all of these issues was. We take a thoroughgoing approach. We say liberalism is the modern face of evil. We don't say liberalism, except for the civil rights movement, was the modern face of evil. We say it all was, because the civil rights movement was the camel's nose in the tent. It was the first beachhead. And as long as you give the left that beachhead, they can retreat to that redoubt.
Hear, hear.
And they, in fact, you see it time and again. Every time the left gets into tough sledding about their latest absurd radical egalitarian movement, like homosexual rights, for example, or homosexual marriage, or global warming, or Obamacare, or whatever it is, what do we see? What's the reaction from the left when they start catching flack from the American public?
It's a civil rights issue.
They run another movie. Hollywood trots out another heaping helping of warmed up civil rights movement leftovers, like The Help or Selma or Team of Rivals or whatever. You know, we see all of these efforts to try to build that bridge, build that link in the mind of people with the supposedly righteous civil rights movement. And then they've got Glenn Beck, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, all these people nodding their heads in agreement about how wicked conservatives and conservatism was and how righteous liberals were, and everything is back in balance for the left, and they can go forward with their agenda, and they always do.
That is why this show is so valuable. That's why you good people contribute to keep our show on the air, because we tell the truth, and because we tell the truth, we cannot get commercial sponsors. We, you know, Pepsi and Coke are not going to be lining up to support the political cesspool. Honeymaid, which is running these ads now on the Teddy Graham commercials you know, and I had to explain this. Damn them to hell for this. Because I'm telling you, know, running this on primetime network television, not on MTV, but Channel 5 during, you know, Dancing with the Stars or something, and then my daughter sees these two men holding hands, and I have to joke around saying, oh, well, they're just friends being silly. But, you know, they run this on the Honey, you know, the Teddy Grahams commercial, and, you know, so this is where we're at. And, you know, but going back to what we were talking about with the nuclear bomb versus Brown, how America would have been better off sustaining a couple of nuclear bombings rather than enduring Brown for 61 years. Not only has, through Roe versus Wade, and through really the
killed
homosexual...
Killed many more people than
it's
any
killed
nuclear
more people,
attack
and this
ever
homosexual,
has.
This homosexual agenda, what it really is for, these people don't really care about homosexuals. They're pawns against our people, just like you know, the minorities are, or they're attempting to use them as such. They don't really care about them, but it depresses birth rates. It deconstructs the family. That's what it's all about.
Well, you've got to understand this about liberalism, James. This is the key to understanding the secret agenda of the left. They pretend to be benevolent when they're malevolent. They pretend to be for something when they're really against something. For example, the civil rights movement pretended to be benevolent towards black people.
Go ahead.
Instead, it was malevolent towards white people.
And
that
was the motivating factor. Yeah,
that's
what it was all about.
Radical feminism pretended to be pro-woman. It wasn't. It was anti-male. Homosexual rights pretends to be pro-homosexual when actually the real animus behind it is anti-heterosexual.
Go on.
Okay.
Go on now.
This is the way all liberalism works. They're basically hateful haters trying to destroy the finest civilization that has developed in the history of mankind. And they're doing a darn good job on it. For example, there was some exponent or outlet of the right a couple of years ago that ran a picture of Detroit in 1945 and Hiroshima after the bomb dropped in 1945. Detroit was the forge and furnace of the wealthiest, most powerful manufacturing dynamo in the history of the world at the time. They created airplanes, they created tanks, they created all sorts of hardware that helped the Allies win that war. Meanwhile, Hiroshima was a smoldering ruin. Now, fast forward to today. Detroit is a smoldering ruin. It has just large parts of it where buildings have been pulled down and it's just pasture land. The other parts of it are moldering, empty buildings with graffiti, with people without jobs on the public dole. Meanwhile, Hiroshima is a brand new, spanking, bright, clean, new, prosperous, industrious economic dynamo.
And that's right.
Why is that? Why is that? The thing is, you can recover from an atomic attack if, like Japan, you still have a good nation with a racially homogenous population. 90% of Japan or more is Japanese. So consequently, they can have a prosperous society. America has embraced multiculturalism in the great lie, diversity is our greatest strength. Diversity is actually our greatest weakness. That's why we look like we're the ones that lost World War II and they look like they're the ones that won it.
Keith Alexander, buddy, you know what? My hair stood up on my spine a little bit listening to you close that segment out. That is the truth. That is the truth, and we speak truth to power here. If you and I don't really stand for the guy who coined that term, but truth to power spoken here on the political show. We're going to co-opt it. We're back in a minute.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who bleeds the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips.
There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Oh, yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, so we're getting down to the nitty-gritty on our annual feature coverage of Brown. This is the third week in a row that we have worked
revisited
in at some point in the broadcast, and we're going to wrap it up this segment. But, I mean, again, folks, you can't deny that the cities that were bombed in World War I-B, as one of our friends in Florida likes to call it, and that's very accurate, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, all of the German cities just got firebombed mercilessly. And if you haven't seen the documentary Hellstorm, let me tell you something. A war crime is a war crime, and I don't care if the so-called good guys did it. It's still a war crime, and it's despicable what happened to the German civilians in the aftermath of the conclusion of...
Totally gratuitous, totally just hatefully trying to destroy German civilians.
That's right.
I mean, what happened, and it was Churchill who was primarily behind it, this guy who was supposedly the great hero of World War II and World War I.
You got to question the people who participated in that being the greatest anything. As they are so-called the greatest generation. And it's not to say that the heroism...
And, you know, the other problem with the greatest generation is they were the people in charge when the Brown decision came down, and they didn't fight it off, as all previous generations
there
had.
You go.
Whenever the Supreme Court arrogantly tried to assert its superiority over every other branch of the federal
that
government.
That can't be discounted or refuted. And I'm not saying that there wasn't heroism and valor in going into that war, especially when Germany was riding a crest. And going in there and putting your life on the line, no matter what your reasons, I mean that takes that takes.
But they did not answer the bell when they were challenged by the left. The left, of course, presented a totally different type of challenge, and they have been able to use psychological conditioning. They're using it to this day. Now.
Well, final word before you finish this, I was just going to say, not all of them participated in the rape and murder of German civilians after the war, but those who did are absolutely despicable and beyond reproach.
And there were people...
Beyond redemption.
True, you know, and we may as well fess up to
but
it.
But all of those cities rebuilt, Keith. My point in even getting into that, and I digressed momentarily, but all of those cities in Germany rebuilt. The cities in
they
Japan
look good
rebuilt.
Now.
They
and
look good now. Detroit will never look good again so long as it is
because we've
by
embraced
diversity.
Multiculturalism and diversity. And the biggest lie of all time, as Ann Coulter said, is that diversity is our greatest strength. It is actually our greatest weakness. As Ann Coulter said, where in the history of mankind has diversity been experienced in which it was not a major societal problem to be overcome rather than a strength to be built upon? Now, the thing about the Brown decision, it did create the blueprint, the template for undemocratic change. It allowed the least democratic, least responsive to the people branch of the federal government, the judiciary, to be the ultimate arbiter of social policy.
Unelected judges that serve until they die.
And today, we've noticed that the two most powerful agencies are part of the federal government are, one, the judiciary, and two, the bureaucracy. Neither of which is elected, neither of which is subject to the will of the people. So that's part and parcel, that is the primary legacy of Brown. But again, on a micro focus, let's understand that the Brown decision was supposedly about public education and racially integrating public education. How has that worked out? Let me suggest not so well. In fact, right now, James is on the cusp of trying to arrange for his eldest child to be homeschooled. Quite frankly, everybody needs to homeschool their children now because one of the enduring legacies of the Brown decision is that your children are now subjected to the mind-bending therapists who run the public schools. And not only the public schools, the same colleges of education that educate public school teachers, hello, also educate private school teachers. You send your children to private schools, you're living in a fool's paradise. These people are,
well,
your children are subjected, even at these church schools now, to the same type of liberal claptrap. So what you need to do, see, this is why things like gay marriage are now finding incredible acceptance, unprecedented acceptance, because we now have millennials. We have children that have been marinated in unabashed liberalism for all of their lives, and they know nothing else. They see it on television. They see it at the movies. They hear it in school. They hear it in church. And they don't believe there's an alternative to it. And this is finally bearing the fruit that the left wanted. Now, that they can basically tell you anything. They can tell you that you should marry a frog. And they can, with their control of the news media, they can control their control of the entertainment industry. They will indoctrinate the young into thinking that a frog human marriage is a great thing.
It's just like the children's book, The Emperor Who Has No Clothes, and we've made this comparison before. But here, all of these people pretending, and I think a lot of people, unless they're just eaten up with mental illness, have to be pretending that a lot of this is you know, that they believe a lot of this is okay or right or morally sound. You got all these people pretending that they see clothes on the emperor when there's no clothes there, and this is a sickness. It's we are a mentally ill society.
And it
now
shows cowardice, quite frankly. For people not to speak up and tell the emperor that he has no clothes is ultimately an act of cowardice. We say that in Red State America, liberalism is a mile wide and an inch deep. But people are so fearful of losing their sinecures, losing their job, losing their position economic stability, that they will go along with anything. You know, here's an article we ran in the blog roll years ago that says, I have mixed feelings about all this. Was a hard fist and truncheon of Soviet control more deadly to our race or to the American form of government or is what we have today, this kind of soft tyranny of political correctness where they don't knock on your door at midnight, arrest you, drag you to the basement of the Lubyanka and put a bullet in the base of your brain, but they say, if you insist on speaking out on liberal conservative issues and towing to the conservative line, you're not going to be promoted at work. You're liable to lose your job. You're liable not to have a future in corporate America. Well, that apparently works splendidly. It works so much better than old-fashioned terror tactics that political correctness is much more effective at transforming society than the old hard fist of Soviet communism or even Chinese communism used to be. Those terror tactics engender an armed response. People bow down and cower. As T.S. Eliot said in his poem, The Hollow Men, this is the way the world will end, not with a bang, but a whimper. We're whimpering our way into hell, people, by not opposing this ultimate evil called liberalism. Liberalism is truly the modern face of evil. And until people actually embrace that insight, we're never going to make any progress. As long as they try to give a pass to any part of liberalism, including that supposedly sacred part that was represented by the Brown decision, we're lost and we'll never find our way out of the woods.
Well, there you have it, folks. Keith Alexander doing what Keith Alexander does, and I am browned out until next week, of course.
we have suffered not only a brownout but a blackout here in America.
Yeah, you got that right. Well, we would have put all of that coverage on Brown into a single show if the schedules had aligned more favorably. But I'm glad we got to work it all in, even if it was spread out over three episodes. And it's good stuff, because let me tell you something. This goes back to what we were talking about earlier in the program. Rather than spending 20 minutes talking about the media-manufactured controversy over if George Stephanopoulos did or didn't donate to Hillary Clinton, they could have been talking about something that actually matters and something with serious ramifications. And I'm a little
like the Brown decision, but you'll never hear a serious decision about that. That is supposedly beyond the pale. Polite people don't discuss the Brown decision.
Now, who would you have rather heard? Thankfully, they were talking about George Stephanopoulos. Otherwise, I guess they would have just been talking about more anti-white commentary, which really, you know, is about 90% of all broadcasts now. But
be talking about the Kardashians, maybe.
Well, you know, they could have talked about that, you know. But would you have rather heard Keith Alexander giving that presentation, or would you have rather heard this nonsense, this filler? Or, again, their favorite.
We're all supposed
fallback.
To be torqued up and in high dudgeon about George Stephanopoulos. George Stephanopoulos isn't a dimple on a pimple on the posterior of the problem that faces America. Brown is the source of it. Brown is the wellspring of it.
And if it wasn't for Brown, I would tell you this. Just a couple of years ago in Mississippi, the majority of Republican voters said they would still vote against miscegenation laws. So, you know, if it wasn't for Brown, America would still look a lot like it did in 1954.
And
that would
we
be
would have made
thing.
The same type of recovery that the that the people in Hiroshima did from their bombing.
All right. Thank you, Keith.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
On the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Point in the broadcast, we're going to make a couple of announcements. Always fun to do announcements. Administrative work needs to be done here in the political cesspool as well. We hope you have enjoyed the broadcast thus far. Our featured guest of the evening, my very own pastor, David Rogers, will be with us for the entirety of tonight's third hour. Keith Alexander, Keith is leaving the building. Keith, like Elvis, indeed. See you next time. I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, good. Call me when you're on the show.
You got it. All right, so everybody just got to hear us talking as if we're not on the radio. But my pastor on with us in the third hour. Been looking forward to this since Easter. He was last on. He's made a handful of appearances with us on the broadcast over the years, the most recent of which occurring on the Saturday immediately before Easter. That would have been April the 4th. Easter is always a hard holiday to keep up with because, unlike every other holiday, it's not always in the same month. It could be in March. It could be in April. It could be in early March. It could be in late April. This year, it was on April the 5th, I believe. And so anyway, Pastor was on to deliver a very special Easter message, which meant a lot to me, and I know it meant a lot to all of y'all as well, because we got a tremendous amount of positive feedback to that particular interview. And we stayed around for about 2 hours after the show that night, longer than the show itself, it seemed, talking about things and just catching up. And we actually talked about the show we're going to have tonight. It just so happens that this was the it took us this long to get it scheduled, but we're going to be talking with him. Well, I won't give away the whole third hour until he's on. But anyway, he's already in the studio, and Keith is leaving. I know a lot of people have been asking about Eddie, the Bombardier. Everything's great with the Bombardier. In fact, Eddie's going to be riding with me tomorrow to go to the baptism of our friend Matt the Copperhead, who we mentioned earlier in the program tonight, is getting baptized tomorrow. Okay. And Eddie's going to be with me for that. He has been in hard core fundraising mode for St. Jude. You know, he does his, you know, marathons, and he has to raise the money that he pledges for the kids there to do that. And so he's been going out to Bass Pro Shop and to a lot of, you know, festivals and carnivals here in recent weeks. And Saturday night's obviously the big night for people to be out and about. And so for the last couple of weeks, Eddie's been engaged in that. I know people have been worried about him, thinking something had gone wrong with his health or something. The Bombardier is fine and actually full of napalm, and he'll be back with us next week. I think he hasn't been on the show in about a month, which is almost as rare as me being gone for two consecutive Saturdays, which just occurred. And I say almost as rare as meaning it's never before happened. But Eddie will be back with us next week. All is well there. And anyway, I'll be seeing Eddie tomorrow. And he's really been missing the show and looking forward to returning. But as far as announcements go, pay attention, everybody. Perk up. The Political Cesspool's second quarter fundraising drive has now commenced. As of Thursday, we kicked off the second quarter fundraising drive for 2015, thanks to those of you who have already rung the bell. But I want to remind everybody of a fact that I had posted about on the website. If you have previously donated to the radio program, you are going to be receiving in the mail from me next week. And I was actually running around with my wife today, and we picked up the letters that I'm going to be sending out to the donors. Going to be receiving a letter in the mail from me this week that's going to catch you up to date on some very exciting and good news. We're not going to go into all of the details on the program this evening because time doesn't permit, but pay close attention if you're a contributor to your mailbox this week when you're going to receive a letter from yours truly that's going to give you all the details. To say the least, though, we are riding another surge at the moment, and it is a direct result of those of you who faithfully donate to this program to keep us on the air. You know, we are a listener-supported show. We can't get the big sponsors because we do tell the truth about certain issues. And I just want you to know, and you do know this because we tell you all the time, but you are a very important, an indispensable player on our team. The role you play is absolutely huge. And we continue to grow. We continue to exceed expectations. All of that's true. Certainly, we play a role in that here in the studio, but each of you are due the credit for the accomplishments that we garner. You're the reason we've been able to take on the world, as I wrote. And, you know, we've been a bona fide mainstream media outlet for several years now here on the AM radio airwaves. We speak frankly and courageously about a lot of things that other folks won't touch. We've been doing it actually so well and for so long that the unprecedented nature of what we do here can somehow and sometimes be overlooked. You just get, it's amazing what you can get used to. But we are, again, as I say, reaching another crescendo, and we're excited about that. So, again, check out your mailboxes this week if you're a regular donor. If you have never before donated to this show, hey, it's never too late to start. Go to our website and take care of that right away. We've already done so much together, but I was channeling my inner Robert Frost as he wrote the very famous line, "I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep." That's true for me. That's true for you. So thank you for helping us charge forward. And as always, we have prepared a very special incentive package for those who rally behind us. You can check out the details on our site, but they're always good. So donate today. Get it done quickly. You'll feel good about yourself. It'll make you feel good. As my pastor always used to say during Sunday morning, don't give until it hurts. Give until it feels good. You say something like that, right, Pastor? I'm being facetious. But no, it does make you feel good to donate to a good cause. And we want to, of course, help everybody feel good about that. Well, all of that being said, you already know that Pastor is going to be on. I want to share with you quickly, it was just amazing, uncanny almost, the timing of this. Another fellow who's made a few appearances on this show, Pat Buchanan, wrote an article, his most recent article, in fact, The Decline of Christian America. And it absolutely just fits like hand in glove to what we're going to be talking about, or some of the things, rather, we're going to be talking about with Pastor in the next hour. And so just to wet your whistle, to whet your appetite for the hour to come, I'll read just a few selections from Buchanan's most recent column, which will be posted again to our website on Monday. "This is a Christian nation," said the Supreme Court in 1892. Can you believe the Supreme Court actually once said that? They'd never say that now. "America was born a Christian nation," echoed Woodrow Wilson. Harry Truman affirmed it. "This is a Christian nation." So you go all the way up to Harry Truman, which is relatively recent history. "This is a Christian nation." It was matter of fact. It wasn't to be disputed or debated. Everybody knew it. But in 2009, Barack Hussein Obama begged to differ. "We do not consider ourselves to be a Christian nation." Comes now a Pew Research Center survey, Buchanan writes, that reveals the United States is de-Christianizing at an accelerated rate. Whereas 86% of Americans in 1990 identified as Christians, by 2007, that was down to 78%. Today, only 7 in 10 say they're Christians, but the percentage of those describing themselves as atheists, agnostics, or non-believers has risen to 23%. The decline in Christian identity is the greatest among the young. While 85% of Americans born before 1945 still call themselves Christians, only 57% of those born after 1980, the year of my birth, do. If we want to see our future, we should probably look to Europe, where Catholic Ireland just voted in a landslide to legalize so-called same-sex marriage, and where cathedrals and churches are being turned into tourist attractions and museums, and even bars and restaurants. What are the causes of a de-Christianized America, Buchanan asks. Well, it gets back to what Keith Alexander was talking about earlier. High among them is the Supreme Court, which, since the Earl Warren era began, purged Christianity from all public schools and the public square, and has been met with a puzzling lack of resistance from Middle America to the secularist revolution being imposed upon it. Secondly, an anti-Christian elite captured the cultural heights, the arts, elite universities, popular culture, the media, and began, through movies, books, and magazines, an assault on Christian beliefs and morality. This is something I think we talk about at least once a week on this broadcast. Third was the social revolution of the 1960s. It's Pat Buchanan listening to this show every week. This is exactly the kind of stuff you hear us speak. He's writing it. The cultural revolution of the 1960s, which began with the arrival of the baby boomers on campus in 1964, 5 years on, Woodstock Nation was wallowing in the mud, listening to Country Joe and the Fish. The counterculture of the 1960s would be used as a foil to build 49 state landslides for Reagan and Nixon, but in the 60s, the views and the values were embraced by elites and came to dominate the culture in the time of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Given his baggage, Slick Willie would have been a comic figure in the 1950s, but today he is the Democratic Party's ideal of a statesman. Many churches came out to meet the Cultural Revolution halfway. The results were irrelevance and scandal, too many Elmer Gantries in the televangelist pulpits, and too many predators in the priestly cassocks. What are the consequences of a de-Christianized America and West? If you would seek its monuments, look around you. Half of marriages end in divorce. Fewer children are being born, and of these, over 40% out of wedlock. Record drug use rates and dropout rates are soaring. Crime rates that have declined only because we have an incarceration that rivals that of South Africa's. Despite astonishing advancements in medicine, we have far more and far more varied and deadly STDs today than ever before. As Christianity dies, individualism, materialism, and hedonism replaces it. Selfies could be the name for the generation for whom Easter Sunday long ago took a backseat to Super Bowl Sunday. More than a million abortions a year, assisted suicide, and euthanasia are seen as milestones of social progress in the new America. That's not the end of the column, but that's all we have time for right now. I would encourage you to read the rest of it at our website come Monday. It is a doozy. I was only halfway through it. It actually gets better.
Another hour.
When we come back, we're going to make this more conversational in nature when my pastor joins me to pick up where we're leaving off. Stay tuned, everybody.
On the Liberty News Radio Network.